She wasn't from this world. She was from Australia. Halfway around the globe she came, not knowing a soul, to New York City, no less. I love to watch her lips form the words that shrouded an accent, sashayed confidently down the torn brick alleys of my heart, kicking over ash cans of failure and blazing depressed darkened corridors with an ice blue light. Behind the intense feminine regal gesture was the penal colony muscle of drunken pirates, and it was the juxtaposition that soaked my heart in passion. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. My curiosity about her every move was insatiable, and I certainly wanted to know her perspective on America. Barking like a little pirate, she began, "I don't think your government cares about its people. The exorbitant cost of education, there's no looking to educate the lower the middle classes. Officials piss on your future, and what's with all the flags? I've never seen such insecurity in my life." "Life," she would say, dragging the vowel like a thief wrestling a weighted bag of golden chalices down the Vatican steps. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. Get a couple of drinks in her, it was like hell had declared a fire sale. "You don't manufacture anything here but war machines. Your country has to be at war to keep the economy going. The first thing you ought to do is stop calling soldiers heroes. It's an insult to the soldiers that really were heroes. Unless they killed Nazis, there's a very good possibility they're not heroes. They're just deadly little boys in camouflage with a license to kill, acting out scenes from video games back home and waiting for the applause of Walmart shoppers. Along with freedom, heroes was the most overused word in your national vocabulary." She was quietly introspective with a hangover the next day, but she never backed down. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. The racetrack was doused with gasoline and caught fire when she was on a roll. She would ask me why I thought Americans were so desperate to hang on to their guns. "It's so obvious," she would say. "The country, which was settled by Puritans and religious fanatics, had committed genocide on the inhabitants and then built the country with slave labor, all the while praying in the schools. But the true conscience of the country knew that someday there would have to be retribution, and that means the ghosts of those that were destroyed would slay the citizens in their sleep. Americans could keep their guilt at bay with shiny cars and bright lights emanating from gigantic television screens. They could put home alarm security systems in every room. They could dull their brain with perfected auto-tuned sound effects, submarinic lyrics, and childlike melodies. They could ride around in jeeps and pseudo-military vehicles. But they knew that someday the blood was going to run in the streets like rivers of stagnant wine. So be best to arm yourselves against the boogeyman." She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. She was a mouthy B.R.I. and I loved her. I've never played a gig on my ass before, but I got to try it because I got a couple that I... Why, we're going to bring in Danny DeVito now. Reappointment. It's the two of them and my penis. They're all at the same fucking height. And when Danny's powerful and... All right. I know. But I did most already. We got a lot of good shit, so I can really fuck up now.